WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. It's such an honor to be with you tonight. Listen, we have so many exciting things going on, and we are the Bride Ministries. I just cannot wait to tell you about them all. First of all, we launched our new website, which is watbradio.com, and on there it has a lot of more exciting things. First of all, I want to say welcome to our new director, Tristan Major, and also to our new assistant director, Pastor Angela Walker. And these are going to serve all of you ministries well. And so far, we have about 15 to 20 new hosts that are in the process of being trained, and they are going to be able to interview you people from all over the world. It is our honor here to highlight what God is doing in your ministry. And listen, we believe this with the bottom of our heart, that through this ministry, we are releasing the sound in the earth of unity in the Bride of Christ. Okay, and here is Mr. Tristan.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. I just wanted to mention that we are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer many options. We offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever we need to take care of, whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June again.
Hallelujah. Listen, Bride, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. So stay tuned to hear. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer. On our volunteer page, we need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that would just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Penny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas. And that, if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. We do have one coming up July 17th and 18th at the Hopkinsville Prayer Center. If Hopkinsville Revival Center, if you can go ahead and mark your calendar on July the 17th and 18th. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. And listen, thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June, as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that he would show up mightily as he as she travels to meet all of you that have been on. Some of you have been on the radio. Some of you are going to be on the radio in the future. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts, and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does his will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you.
Hello, bud. How's everything going? I hope y'all are all blessed. Today we have with us Jason Ford. He's from the Tennessee area, and he has been heavily involved with missions and intercession. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Tristan. I'm doing excellent.
Glad to hear that. So how did you go from where you didn't even know God to being involved in intercession and missions and things of that nature?
Okay, great, man. What a great question. We can give God a little bit of glory here.
Awesome.
To give you a brief testimony on what happened to me, I was a young man of the age of 23 when I finally submitted my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, and was changed. Previous to that, I had one sinner's prayer that I said in the fourth grade because my grandmother had died and I wanted to go see her in heaven. That was about the end of that, was that Sunday when I walked down and asked Jesus into my life. The enemy began a parallel plan in my life at that time, where I spent the next, from the time I was in fourth grade, all the way till I was 23, basically drifting further and further away from the things of God. I'll briefly tell you that I got involved in the drugs and alcohol and the drug culture here in the Middle Tennessee area. Eventually and unfortunately sold every drug you can think of for 10 years. Came from a middle-class family, went to a private school. Everything on the outside, if you were to look from the outside looking in, looked as though I would have the perfect American dream situation. But see, the enemy has been sent to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, he has.
And he knew from an early age, I believe, that God had a destiny upon my life. And so that started the track that I was on. And that began to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and to the point where I was a professed Satan worshiper. Didn't really know what that meant, but just knew it was a dark thing to do. And I had opened myself up to the demonic realm to the point where I was hearing voices, having dreams and seeing things, aberrations, and professed and called upon and submitted my life to Lucifer the best that I knew what that meant, and began to be a professed Satan worshiper in my high school with the nickname of Lucifer. It all started. It all started with me with a little sin, and it began. It opened to be to where the floodgates were open, and I totally submitted and opened myself up to the demonic realm. And I lived that life until, like I said, 23. What was going on in parallel to that was I had an intercessor for a mother. She prayed for me consistently, as far as I know, every day for those
years. Thank God for interceding mothers.
Yeah, praise God. I was not looking for God, but knew that there was a God. I chose to rebel against that God, like I said, and give myself over the dark powers because I believed that that was where the fun was, and I was so blinded for so long. In parallel also to my mother praying, during my high school years, I didn't find this out till about 3 years after I was saved and really serving the Lord, that there was a small group of Christians at the school I went to that were praying and fasting every Wednesday lunch for our group. So when I got saved and had an encounter with the Holy Spirit in 2003 at the age of 23, I was sold on this prayer thing, because I knew that here I was, a lost kid, drugs, addicted to drugs and alcohol, selling drugs, openly professed, serving the enemy, and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, surrendered my life, and turned from that day never to participate in any of the activities that I had participated in over half my life. And just January 5th of 2015, I celebrated 12 years of drug and alcohol free and serving God.
Awesome.
So it's just a little brief, you know, testimony of what God's done.
Oh, wow. That's that's definitely God. I mean, nothing else could really have brought you out of that very easily.
At all. It was a dark time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I am absolutely sure. But all it takes is just one encounter with the love of God and who He is, and all of a sudden, all the stuff you were doing doesn't seem so fun anymore.
No, it didn't. It didn't. He totally turned my heart, and may I say, He turned my girlfriend, now wife, and mother of three, soon to be mother of three, by the way. She is pregnant now. We got married. She turned her life to the Lord. I turned my life to the Lord. And we've been serving the Lord all over the world since.
Awesome. That is absolutely awesome. So how did you go from that into missions work?
Yeah, okay, well, great. When I got saved, our church is very missions-oriented, and so I began to see missionaries coming in from other states and, I mean, other nations, and they were telling stories of what God was doing all over the earth. And I just was so hungry to see the power of God, and it so stirred me. And I believe that God began to prompt me, give me a heart for the nations. And eventually, my heart's desire was fulfilled when I went out of the country in 2009. I spent 6 years longing to go, and in 2009 was my first encounter going out of the country. And we took a team of youth to El Salvador. And when we were in El Salvador, God really gripped my heart for the nations and for the world, because I began to see what God really can do when people are expecting Him and they have faith that He's going to move. On that trip, Tristan, I'll tell you, we had the opportunity to preach in 9 different schools, public schools. They allowed us to preach in those schools because if the children will come during their free time, then they allow guest speakers to come and you can share the gospel. We did. During those 10 days, we've seen over 150 young people have salvation experiences, many of them filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother message. I believe it is a reality if we want it. And we've seen multiple healings, everything from a healed back to a woman who was going for surgery the next day for an ear surgery because she was in such pain. The Lord spoke to lay hands on her, and I along with the team, prayed over her, and God miraculously did a creative miracle and healed her right ear, never to have surgery. She
absolutely
did not have
awesome.
That surgery. And so that began to stir my heart for what God could do, and it seemed as though I wasn't seeing that much in America, and so I was just wanted to go to the nations. But what I brought back from that trip, Tristan, is a faith to believe it, and now we have seen many occurrences of people being touched by the power of God and healed by the power of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, right here on our grounds.
Awesome.
I believe that God's wanting to do more in this nation because God's not forgotten about America, though many of its inhabitants have forgotten about God. He still has a dream for this nation, and I'm standing and believing him for a revival and awakening to come to as many hearts as possible before he comes back. May he come quickly.
Amen. Amen to all of that.
Yep.
So,
praise the Lord.
So how did you get the idea, or how did the idea for having missions outreach type of stuff at Bonnaroo happen?
Okay. This was another divinely aligned happening. And I met a young man who God spoke to do it. And basically, I was just one of the ones that helped encourage him along and push him forward to do it. And we, with a team of us, five of us, me, Bob Perry, Tony Nobles, Carver Morgan, and Hannah Bailey, we all worked together miraculously. Three of those people I had never even worked together with, and the other one I'd worked together with on a few things, but nothing, you know, like an event like this. And God tell you, Tristan, the wind of God and the grace of God was all over this thing because we flowed in such unity. I don't know that I've felt it before. And so basically the way it all went down is that I had attended a prayer meeting, met Carver, who is the official visionary of it, and that night he shared with me that he had a heart to do something at Bonnaroo. I had a heart to do something at Bonnaroo for some time as well, the past few years. I had talked about doing this something similar, and it just wasn't time. So when I met Carver, we just gelled. We knew it was a divine appointment, and that's where everything started to proceed forward. And, you know, you just tell me what, I can go into more details or anything like that, but that's basically the gist of how it started.
Okay. Well, from there, what did God do? I mean, how did the worship tent, the 100 hours of worship and prayer come into that? how did that thing happen?
Goodness gracious, man. Well, you know, we all believed as a core team that Jesus is the one who's worthy. And, you know, he's worthy of all our time, our energy, all our praise, and we wanted to give him a dwelling place on the earth where he was praised and worshiped for 24 hours for the time that we were there to make the 100 hours because the motto we kept saying was 100 hours for 100,000 because Bonnaroo can draw as many as 100,000 to that festival. And so... And that was really our heart, is to create a place of worship and prayer that we could, one, intercede and pray on behalf of those that didn't know Jesus, and then give him adoration and praise, and he would literally, so that he would literally come down and manifest his presence in us and in the atmosphere of that area we were in Manchester, and he did. We had everything from the county mayor to the sheriff, captain of the sheriff's department, to the Baptist Association to the Church of Christ opening up their doors to help us. We had five states come and join us. We probably had around 200 people coming in and out during that 100 hours of worship and prayer. And we had people in the state of Tennessee from Chattanooga to Cookeville to Dixon to Clarksville, from Nashville, Brentwood, Franklin, Murfreesboro, Christiana, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, all come together for the purpose of giving Jesus praise and worship during that time. Awesome. And it was just incredible.
Absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, from that experience, what would be the one thing that sticks out to you the most?
The one thing that sticks out for me the most, my brother, is that when you get in the presence of God, you are transformed by it. And when you get in the presence of God, when you dwell with Him in the secret place, then in the private place, then you can carry that into the public place, and you begin to operate out of the overflow so that everywhere you go, the environment is affected by that presence. I'll tell you, brother, that when you go out in the power of His presence, things change around you.
Awesome.
That's how it's affected.
That is a very, very good lesson to learn, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you saw that really stuck with you? Like, how did God move at Bonnaroo?
Oh, my gracious. Well, one thing I want to highlight is that we had the privilege and honor of being the prayer covering for the there was a tent. There's a tent on the ground that was a service tent, basically, called the Jesus tent. And we prayed and covered that tent and that area. And we also had the privilege of praying and being the prayer covering and working together with the evangelistic team that went in the grounds.
Awesome.
Our core team members also had the privilege of going into the grounds as well because we had access.
Awesome.
And so that's just some of the things we did. But when we got in the grounds, oh, man, I'll tell you, the people are hungry. They just don't know what they're hungry for until they're told. You know, I'm reminded there's a scripture. It's like who's going to tell them if you don't go? You know, we have to be the beautiful feet that carry the gospel. And just going into that place, God opened up the door, so many doors. You know, the evangelistic team had 160 first-time decisions for Christ.
Awesome.
In 4 days.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, so I personally, two powerful encounters that I had, if you'd like, I can share with you.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
One was me and my friend Carver. We decided to go into Bonnaroo. We had been worshiping in prayer. We had did the night watch. I believe we both had done the night watch, you know, because the worship never prayed. So we prayed through the night, and we worshiped through the night. So I was on night watch. After night watch, took a little bit of a rest, woke up. We went into Bonnaroo. We prayed for divine encounters, and I tell you, we definitely had some. One experience that I had was I was just speaking with a lady in the Jesus tent, and unbeknownst to me, I did not feel this person come up, but a young man come walking straight up to me, and my friend Carver said he's just staring right at me. It's as though he was drawn to us like a magnet. Carver was able to witness to him, share his testimony with him. Then the guy turns to me and says, "What's your story?" I tell him my testimony kind of like I just told you, and he says, "This is so amazing." He said, I'm at a deciding point in my life right now, and I had just asked. He said, "I believe in God, but I really just don't see Him operating, and I can't find anywhere where I can see Him really moving."
Yes.
And he said, "I was just in a point in my life where I was asking God, God, is there more? And now this very day I come to Bonnaroo from Michigan." This kid was from Michigan.
Wow.
He said, "Here it is. I come to Bonnaroo and I hear about this God that's doing stuff all of, you know, that wants to be active in your life and wants to have a relationship with you. And yeah. So we got to pray over him, bless him. I got his information.
Awesome.
I texted him. He texted back, said later on his own, he just gave us a text. He said, listen, guys, I so appreciate what you guys did today and appreciate your encouragement. That's just one testimony. Brother, we are just a few that went in. There's a lot of stuff going on these grounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
that is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely sounds like God showed up. I mean, the divine appointment for Michigan.
That's
not exactly a short trip.
Nah, it's not a short trip. Not a short trip. See, sometimes God goes his way. I compared it many times as I was out there. I just kept thinking about, you know, Jesus went out of his way. He didn't have to, but he went out of his way for the woman at the well. And, you know, some of these kids, like Jesus set up, like they thought they were going, you know, out of their way, out of their state to come to Bonnaroo, but they're actually going to the well to meet Jesus. And we were the hands and feet of Jesus.
Awesome.
And so that's why the encounters happened.
Yeah.
And by the way, from that encounter, that encounter with that woman at the well, a city was changed.
It was indeed. It was indeed. I mean, all it takes is one person to get caught on fire and can change a country.
Yeah. May I highlight, speaking of cities being changed, that the county mayor gave us his full stamp of approval. Mayor Gary Cordell gave his full stamp of approval on this 2,400 hours worth of worship and prayer, came
awesome.
To the prayer meetings, allowed us to pray over him, blessed us, is working with us, encouraged us. The Church of Christ, I would say most of the people that were involved with the Ruhop were probably a non-denominational in nature background, but the Church of Christ worked with us, opened their church doors up to house people. The Baptist Association were all on board, loved us, encouraged us, were glad that we were there. And just what an incredible experience. We even had brothers and sisters that were not even used to having musical instruments on stage come and worship through the night with us.
Awesome.
And we had instruments there. But there were people that came to this thing that had never risen their hands to the Lord, that raised their hand for the first time in a public setting before the Lord.
Wow, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is
And yeah, I mean, so we just feel like that it was God all the way, man.
Oh, yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Definitely, the Spirit of the Lord. Huh. I really wish I'd been able to come out there at least once. But
yeah, it's a powerful deal, man.
Stuff work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to take a quick break. But we'll be back with more with Jason Ford and what happened with Bonnaroo and... Yeah, we'll just hear more about what's been going on with him.
Awesome. Praise the Lord.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is soul. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
And we're back with Jason Ford. So Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but people have been going out there in the Jesus camp out there for a few years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, and that, this year was my first knowledge of it. It was actually my first time attending as well. But I believe that the Jesus Tent people have been participating and being a presence on the ground at Bonnaroo for a few years now. I don't know if it's three or four. I know it's a few years. This was not their first time being there.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing what they're doing.
It is.
Yeah. They're open 24/7 as well, and they're ministering the love of Jesus through water, food and water, and really that's awesome. The simplest way to put it. You know, we were doing our thing with the prayer and worship. They're doing their thing with the food and water, and there was another ministry called Pocket Full of Change, led by a lady who that was the name of her ministry, led by a lady who was the evangelist team hosted by. Another family that actually lives in Manchester, and she goes all around the nation bringing and training up evangelists and going into evangelizing. Bonnaroo is one of her harvest fields. Because, see, my brother, that place is a harvest field.
It is.
It's not a music festival. People think it's a music festival. That place is not created for a music festival. That place was created so that people can have an encounter with the Lord.
Amen.
They thought they were going to hear some good tunes and smoke some weed.
Well, God can meet people wherever they are. So since this was the first time that the 100 hours of prayer and worship was going on, was there a noticeable difference?
Yes, to the point of people in the city officials, that one of the quotes was, they were saying, we don't know why, but something seems to be different this year. Things are running smoother this year. We've had less problems this year. And those of us who knew what was going on and some of the city officials that knew the prayer was going on, they accredited it to that. They accredited it to the prayer. One testimony I had direct contact, as I said, with one of the ministries that was leading the evangelist every day, and she gave me a report, and she said that this year, they had more favor from the Lord, and the gospel was easier preached than any year previously.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So the lead-up intercession to that, I know I was involved with a little bit of that, the things mm-hmm. that Bob Perry was doing around here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference. I mean, it really does make a big difference when you have people praying beforehand and interceding and getting on their face before God, and then intercession during the event as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people don't seem to get that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I tell you, extended times of prayer can be difficult. But what we found is when you mix it with worship, somehow it seems to make things flow better. And that's what we've seen, and that's the reason why we wanted to have the worship and prayer aspect, because we believe that prayer is a way to commune with God, and God is looking for those who are willing to stand on the wall and pray and intercede. But it also adoration. I hate to say gets God's attention, but I believe that it does, and I believe that God looks down, even as He said when Abraham was saying, oh, Lord, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord agreed that if they could find 10 righteous, I believe that when we pray and we ask the Lord, that He literally looks down and says, okay, what y'all got happening here? And when you mix that with worship and adoration of Him, I believe that the Bible is true when it says He is enthroned on our praises. And I also believe that He says, when you ask anything according to My will, it will be done.
Definitely. And it's a lot easier to get into God's will with worship and praise going on. I mean, adoration, if you really think about it, adoration, you adore your wife, I'm sure. I mean, it's just another way of showing your love for God. And when you have that experience, that sense of love and that worship and praise going on, it just creates an atmosphere of love for God that I'm sure that He finds irresistible. I mean, as a husband or a wife, for someone who's in love, I mean, when you're the person you love is saying things or just blessing you or saying, I really love spending time with you or things of that nature, it hits home in a different way.
Yeah.
And it means that whatever they're saying after that, or if they're interceding or praying along with that, it means that what they're saying is not just being asked in a cold vacuum. It's been prepared. It's been oiled with that love and so forth. So whatever you're asking is essentially going to have more effect, I guess you could say, if you're looking at it from a purely human perspective.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, we're created in the image of God. So if, and that's not just as a physical form, but I mean as the way we function and as we deal with emotions and what draws us to each other, those same things draw God to us and us to God. I mean, we were created to love and be loved. And when we're expressing that with God, then he is very pleased with this, I think.
Amen. I agree.
And as you said, it's about going after God's heart and asking for his will to be done. And as you're praising and worshiping him, it becomes easier to hear that heart and find what he wants to be done instead of coming in with preconceived notions or anything like that.
Yep. That's right, man. God's looking for the laborers to be sent out to the harvest as well. And, you know, we pray the Lord, send out the laborers and go into the harvest. You know, he hears our cry.
Yes, he does.
So,
he very definitely does.
Mm-hmm. It's
definitely an amazing thing that, I mean, y'all can even, that this could even be done at a festival like this. That is absolutely an amazing thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's an exciting thing, and we're just sensing the Lord and praying and say, Lord, what would you have us do in the future? I mean, could this be something that this begins to happen all across the nation? I'm not saying that we have to be the one, our team has to be the one that heads it up per se, but could it be that the Lord wants to have a place in the middle of worldly atmospheres? I believe that he does, because he is looking for souls. See, Tristan, as you know, this whole deal is about souls. It's a soul war. There's only two forces in this world.
Yeah.
It's the powers of darkness, and it's the light and the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
And God sent his son to die on the cross for sinners, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not looking for us to get cleaned up. He wants us to get down in the dirt and find the people that aren't cleaned up, because those that are sick are the ones that need the doctor, and the doctor's Jesus.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he does with us. I mean, he meets us where we are. He doesn't ask us to get cleaned up before we meet him. He comes down into the dirt, and he's like, I love you. Let me show you a better way.
That's it, and that's what was occurring at Bonnery, literally in the dirt with these hippie kids and these raver kids and these druggies that are just, you know, so, you know, hungry for something, and they're just looking for love in all the wrong places and looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, and you know that God raised up laborers and raised up intercessors and raised up worshipers, evangelists, and service hospitality teams to go out and reach into the darkness. And, you know, that's what he specializes in, is meeting where it's at. You know, my preacher and my spiritual father always says, you know, hey, you know, hate the sin, but love the sinner. As a church, may I make a bold, cry and just say, please, quit hollering at people and start loving them.
Yeah.
Love them to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit bring the conviction. Our job is not to bring the conviction on people. A sinner knows he's sinning.
Mm-hmm.
When I was out doing drugs and doing all the things and rebelling against God and doing the things that I shouldn't be doing, I knew I was in sin. What we need to do is preach the good news of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And regardless of whether you know, we want to all be on the same page with this or not. The truth of the matter is that God is love. Judgment's coming one day, but
mm-hmm.
judgment's not our job.
No,
our job is to preach the truth of the gospel, love the sinner where he's at, and then as that sinner begins to have an encounter and has a relationship, has a born-again experience with God, then the Holy Spirit, then direction, then discipleship, then mentoring, all that stuff can happen after
mm-hmm.
that. We cannot, we must not look into the darkness and turn our faith, lest we be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees that think we're so righteous. My cry
yeah.
is I would tear my garments and beat my chest and say, but for the grace of God, there go I, and then go
yeah.
into the harvest field.
Yes. I agree with you with what you were saying about God's calling things to be done in the world, not
yeah.
just in the church, because, I mean, a lot of these people won't even think about setting foot in a church.
Oh, Lord, no.
I mean,
no.
I mean, revival, if you really think about it, revival isn't exactly for the lost. It's to get the church back alive so that they'll go to
mm-hmm.
where the lost are, because the
yeah.
lost aren't coming into churches anymore.
Very
much. They're coming by way of friends inviting them or friends telling them about something that's absolutely awesome to them. And so their friend, it's like, okay, I'll go with you. I'll see what's going on.
Yep. That's it.
And the awakenings come out of revival. There's a big difference between a revival and an awakening. An awakening is
mm-hmm.
when the lost come to know God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very natural follow-up of a revival.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see, before that great awakening that people are praying for and praying in, we're going to have to see a lot of revival in the churches first.
Yep. It starts in the church first. Many things start in the church first.
Yes, and it starts with prayer and intercession and getting
mm-hmm.
down on our faces in front of God.
Yep. And it's happening, brother. It's happening from,
it is.
You know, from Israel to D.C. to little old Manchester, Tennessee, all across the nation. California
yeah.
with Lou Engle and his crew, to
mm-hmm.
Matt Lockett and his crew up there in D.C., and Jason Hershey with David's Tent, and Rue Hopp up there in Manchester and Nashville, Tennessee, with some of the ministries there that are interceding. It starts with We Are the Bride, and you know, all these different ministries
yeah.
that care about prayer and intercession,
yeah.
and, you know, that sort of stuff, you know, worship. God's doing it.
And there's one thing I've noticed, that as we get into that atmosphere of prayer and we seek that revival, unity just comes naturally, because when you are humbling yourself before God,
yep.
the stuff that divided you and separated you becomes irrelevant. Really.
Yep. You're right. I agree. Pretty good stuff, man. Pretty
yeah.
good stuff.
So if you had 5 minutes to tell America anything, like, what's been burning in you for the church in America to hear, what would it be?
Yeah. What it would be is basically what I've been trying to say tonight. Just go smile. Would you just please, church, listen, get outside the walls. Go smile at somebody. You don't have to be a perfect. You don't have to have your whole life figured out. You don't have to be the perfect evangelist or the, you know, the preacher or anything like that. What my cry to the church is that people who are not even in full-time ministry, this is what I would say, make a difference where you're at. And this one I'll say, I've heard great leaders say this, you may not be able to reach the thousands, and you're probably not going to reach the 10,000s, and it's very unlikely you're going to reach the 100,000, but you can reach the one. And if
yeah.
you just reach one in front of you, that one may be the next person who does reach the thousands, the 10,000, the 100,000. What I would say to the church is, and I say this in all humility, is we have got to be about the Father's business and no compromise, but for the grace of God. And I call on God constantly, God, draw me back to yourself. We can't mingle. We must not set up idols and these sort of things. And God's going to help us, and different people are at different places. But I would say is that think outside of Sundays. Think outside of Wednesdays, because
yeah.
the church must break out of the box if we want to save the lost. And if we want to have a vital, exciting relationship with the Lord, get into prayer. Learn to commune with Him. This is what I would say is show up to the prayer meeting. That's great. Show up
yeah.
to the Sunday service. That's great. But this is what I would say is we must, our lives must become a prayer. So what I would say is that my encouragement and my desire is that I would, my life would become a prayer, would be a daily communing with the Lord. And it's not some super spiritual hard thing to do. It's just something that you live your life day by day as we learn to turn our thoughts and our directions and our heart towards God. May we be heavenly minded. This is what I would say.
Yes.
God's looking for heavenly dwelling places on the earth, and you and I can be that heavenly dwelling place. All we have to do is present ourselves before Him and say, we need you, Lord. Give us clean hands and a pure heart. And as we know in the Psalms, it says that we could ascend the hill of the Lord when we have clean hands and a pure heart. And so my cry is, let's wake up to the things of God and go out there and love somebody that needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Quit waiting on the preacher or the pastor to do it. Praise God for His ministers, but I'm just saying, we are the hands and feet.
We are.
Jesus is gone, but He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we'd be bold. That's what happened in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came, the power, the boldness came on them. They went out and they preached, and signs and wonders happened. Beloved, signs and wonders can still happen through your very hands.
Yes, they can.
So that's what I'd say.
And I agree with that completely. I mean, what you're saying about it's not the pastor's job, it's our job.
Yeah.
If you actually look biblically at what a pastor's job was, it was to take care of the body of Christ as they went and did things for God.
Yeah.
And it's gotten so skewed in this country where the pastor is the only one that's expected to do anything. And it's just like one man can't do all of the things that...
Right.
There were five aspects of the ministry that God, that Paul brought up. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors.
Yep.
And one man can't do all of those things for an entire body.
You're correct.
And there's something else that someone said recently. I don't remember where I was when I heard this, but God, Jesus didn't say prepare and then go. He said as you go. Which means as you go about your daily life, be on the lookout for what He's doing. And spread the word of God.
And
that is a big thing. I mean, people think they have to prepare. They have to set aside specific times to do these things. And they really don't. They just have to go about their daily life and be willing and bold in seeking what God is doing.
Yep.
And He will show
daily
up.
Daily encounters, man. Daily encounters. Right. You know, I pray for it. I say, God, give me something to do today. Nine times out of ten, He does.
Yeah. But He also knows when you need a break.
He knows when you need a break, too. He'll give you a break. The Lord knows. Our job really is just to wave the white flag and say, I surrender. Here I am. Use me as I will.
Yeah. Well, or not even that. Show me where to partner with you, where you're working. Because, I mean, we're His children. He doesn't want to use us up, you know? I think if you shift the way you think about it beyond servanthood, because while we are servants of God, He calls us friend. Jesus calls us friend and brother. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. God the Father calls us His beloved children.
Amen.
So when you get that shift beyond mere servanthood to we're family and we're loved, it's no longer being used. It's partnering and finding where God's working because He wants to partner with us.
That's right.
I mean, He could do all these things on His own, yes. But He created us in His image and He gave us free will so that we could do things.
Yep.
And so that we could love Him. And there's more power in a partnership than someone saying, go do this, and someone doing it. Because instead of a servant going and doing something, they instead, you have that authority and that agency that comes with being a partner in something instead of merely a servant in it. You get more invested. There's more of an investment in the work. And I really hope the church gets that. That God didn't create us to be servants. He created us to be family.
Yep. Praise the Lord. I agree.
Well, Jason, I'm going to pray for you really quick.
Thank you.
And if you would pray for the body of Christ after that.
Sure.
Just whatever the Lord leads you with, I would. I know they would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So, Bride, come with me. Come to agreement with me. Let's lift up Jason. Let's lift up his ministry and the church he's at and where he is, and just support him and lift. Be like Aaron with Moses and support his arms and help raise them up.
Yes, God, thank you.
Lord, we come together as the Bride of Christ over Jason Ford's ministry and his church. We pray over his vision, his heart, and his mission and his family. We pray that you send forth a host of angels from heaven to bring reinforcements to him, his family, his church and ministry, to everyone he is involved with, and to all of his team, Lord, everyone that he is involved with.
Jesus.
In the spirit, we hold up his arms like Aaron did with Moses. Mm. We gather around him and speak life. We speak abundance of rain to him. We speak all strategies, sources, strength, and tools that he will need to accomplish the vision that you have supplied to him.
Yeah.
We support our brother and thank you for downloading this mission, this desire for intercession and mission work. Flourish the body of Christ into him, Lord.
Mm.
We thank you for him being on the broadcast today, and we thank you for acceleration in his ministry and vision.
Yes, God.
Increase in prophetic dreams, visions, downloads from heaven, and increase in his finances to be able to accomplish all that he seeks to do and all that you have set before him. No weapon formed against him shall prosper.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, my brother. I receive everything that you're saying. I take it seriously and believe that God has heard. God, Father, I praise you, God, as I pray over the church, over the Bride of Christ. God, I want to thank you for Tristan. God, I want to thank you for Miss June, Dawn, Mike. I want to thank you for all those that are involved in this ministry. Oh, God, bless them, God. I thank God that they just love on your ministers and love on those in the body of Christ. Oh, God, we thank you, God, that you would speak to them, lead them, guide them, direct them, God. And God, I just thank you that the hunger for you would increase, your presence would increase all around them. Everywhere they go, they begin to see you more and more. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus Christ becoming more and more of reality. God, I thank you that they can have what they ask for according to your will, God, for your glory, for your purpose, for your kingdom come, your will be done, God, over their lives. And God, for the body of Christ, I pray, God, have mercy on us, oh God, God, where we have strayed. But I pray, oh God, that you would come, and I pray, God, that your power be released, God, in the church, God, so that we would begin to be awakened, oh God, our hearts would be stirred. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that a hunger for the lost and a hunger for the kingdom of God be loosed upon this nation, God, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, God, do it. And I pray, Lord, loose your angelic host to war against the powers and the principalities and the demonic princes that try to rule over this land, America, God. We pray, oh God, you have your way. Angelic host, I pray, be released in greater measure, increased measure to fight the powers and principalities, God, over this nation, God. And we just come in prayer agreement that you are greater, you are stronger. And I plead the blood of Jesus over our lives and over this nation and over the body of Christ. Lord God, I pray, come quickly, send revival, have mercy, God, and I pray more souls come into the kingdom before you come back on your white horse and judge
us. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. I agree with everything you just prayed, brother.
Amen.
I'm coming to a complete total agreement with it.
Yes, God.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, Jason. And
thanks, my brother.
I look forward to hearing more from you in the future about what God's doing. We'll have to have you back on after the next thing you do, just to hear a report
Praise
about
the Lord.
It.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. We'll keep in contact, my brother. Bless you and bless everybody that listens, and we'll see you guys another time, okay?
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, Bride. It was an absolute pleasure to speak with you all again. Hope God blesses you. Lord, just meet everyone who listens where they are. Meet the body. Meet your body where they are, and show your love.
God.
Have a great
Hallelujah.
Have a great rest of the week, Bride.